let's turn then to James and the first chapter. And we'll read again, as we did last Sunday, from verse 12. And we'll read as far as verse 18. And our text is verse 12. So let's turn to verse 12 then, of James and chapter 1. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, last Sunday morning, we looked at verse 17, which says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And as we read that verse again, perhaps you can remember what we said about verse 17 last Sunday. Let's turn to verse 12 this morning. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now that word can be testing. Blessed is the man who endures testing. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Remember then that the way to approach the book of James is to see that there is a relationship between what you believe and what you do. And James is very keen to emphasize this relationship. So if you ever read the book of James, or you know it because you've read it before, you'll know that James keeps emphasizing the word works, especially in chapter 2 from verse 14. You've got this repeated emphasis on the word works. Now, what I would encourage you to do is change that word into the word behavior. So James is telling us what we believe is expressed in how we behave. And when we come to our text, I want you to see in this text that there are at least three beliefs. So take a look at verse 12, and can you see that there are at least three beliefs there? I'm not sure if there's a behavior tucked away somewhere in that verse, but there's most definitely three beliefs. There's a belief about God, and the belief about God is that God is described as the Lord. Now, we could spend an entire morning simply unpacking that word Lord. Because what James does is sometimes he'll talk about God and then he'll talk about the Lord. Now, why would James change this way of referring to God? God and then the Lord. And what James is doing, by doing that, he's building on the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. And sometimes in that book, we'll have references to God. And then there'll be other times when there's a reference to the Lord. Now, James is doing that in his book, but let's keep that for another day. There's a belief in verse 12 about God. that he is the Lord and that he gives the crown of life to those who love him. So that's a belief about God. But there's also a belief here about men and women. There's a belief about what makes a truly happy human life. Do you see where that belief is in verse 12? I can't just refer to man, so let's talk about human life. What is a good human life? What does the Bible teach about a good human life? Well, it's in verse 12. And I wonder if you've spotted it yet. Go back to the beginning of the verse. And the verse opens like this. Blessed is the man. So a really happy man, a really blessed woman, a blessed human life is a life that endures testing. That's a very common biblical view of a happy human life. Now, we could start this morning with this question. What do you think is a good human life? Would you say that a good human life is one in which there's a lot of money? Would you say that a good human life is one in which there's family and friendship? What would your answer be to that question? Well, here, what James tells us is that a truly happy person is someone who endures, who is steadfast in the face of testing. Why is that a good life, James? Because such a person will be given the crown of life by the Lord. So that's a belief about what a good human life is. Now take a look at the verse again, and there's a third belief in this verse, and it's a belief about life itself. Now, not just about a human person, but James will tell you what Christians believe about life as a whole. I wonder if you can see it in verse 12. So at the beginning of the verse then, blessed is the man who endures temptation. That's a belief about human experience. What's a good life? And then at the end of the verse, you get a belief about God. God gives the crown of life to those who love him. So where's the room in verse 12 for a belief about life itself? Can you see it? It's summed up in one word. And I don't know what translation you've got there, but in my translation, it's summed up in the word approved. What do you have in your verse? Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, there's a belief there about life. And I don't suppose it's a coincidence, perhaps it is, that we are looking at this verse on the final day of the Winter Olympics. Have you been watching the Olympics at all? Now, from my point of view, a lot of the sports that we've seen in the Winter Olympics are absolutely nuts. But we've all watched it, I suppose, haven't we? And perhaps we've got into it a bit. And perhaps you've been particularly keen to follow the curling. I've no idea. But today, as far as I know, is the closing ceremony. Now, keep that in mind. The idea of the Olympics and the closing ceremony when you come to verse 12. Because what the word approved means in this verse, it's got the meaning of a competition. A testing. So let's take, now I'm really not a sports person, but let's take the idea of an athlete. And this is how I see it. An athlete trains for 4 years. and they've had sponsorship. So millions of pounds, and it's bizarre, isn't it? Millions of pounds of people's money is spent on a small number of people to help them win a gold medal at something as bizarre as curling. Can you imagine a human life devoted to winning a gold medal at a sport like that? Now, you've got 4 years of training. Now, how good will that athlete be? Well, the only way of knowing how good an athlete is to test them at the Olympic Games. Because you may think they're very good, and they may have trained hard, and they've had loads of money spent on them, and every day they're down the gym, and they're doing their exercises, and then they're practicing their sport, and then they're back to the gym at the end of the day. But the only way of knowing how good that athlete is to test them at the Olympic Games. And that's what the word means in James 1 verse 12. This word, approved, it means to test. And what James is saying, life is like the Olympic Games. It's one long test. Christian life, it's one long competition. It's a testing. And that's how we regard life, says James. You'll be tested. And sometimes your faith will be tested. Other times your patience will be tested. Sometimes your endurance will be tested. And then you'll have some other test of your character as a Christian. But life is a test. That's what James says. So do you see there are three beliefs? So let's use the idea of the Olympics to expand on this idea of what we believe. The first belief is about God. So with the Olympics in mind then, God is the person who presents the victory crown to the person who has competed in the games. So using the idea of a gold medal ceremony, think of the podium, and you have your three athletes on that podium, gold, silver and bronze. There will be somebody who comes along and presents the medal. Now, that's who God is, according to verse 12. He presents the crown of life. Now, the crown here isn't a royal crown. It's not the crown worn by kings. This crown is the wreath that the athlete would be given in the Olympic Games. That's the crown in verse 12. So, God is the one who offers the crown at the end. And then the second belief, blessed is the man who endures temptation. That belief there has the Christian as the athlete, as the one who is being trained, the one who is practicing his skills and dedicating her life to the competition. So the Christian is the athlete. And then the third belief in verse 12 has the idea of being approved. So life is like the games, the Olympic Games. That's what life is like, according to James. So I hope this is making some sense to you. Three separate beliefs in this verse. And it's very interesting that James doesn't think of life as an easy thing. So remember verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. For James, life, the whole of life, is a place where your character is tested, your Christian character. And I guess we can all think of athletes that we know. So the only I guess, sport that I like is tennis, I guess. And I want you to imagine a sport that you like or that you've been watching, and think of some athletes that you know. And there'll be some with lots of talent, but they never practice. You've got some athletes with very little talent, but they practice all the time. Now, what James is saying to us is each Christian is like this athlete, and we are called upon, what we believe is that we are to practice hard, to work hard, to endure all the rigors and the trials that are involved in being an athlete. But, and don't forget now, sometimes a picture doesn't always work out. James's picture in verse 12 has the athlete in the games. So that's what life is like. One long Olympics, and you're being tested in all the different disciplines. Now, today, we are used to the idea, aren't we, that one athlete does one thing. So you'll do, you'll run the 100 meters, or you'll do the long jump, or you'll do something else. Apparently, there was a fuss made, wasn't there, during the past week, because one woman from the Czech Republic won a gold medal in two different disciplines, completely separate disciplines, and that's unusual. Well, back in the day of Paul and James, you competed in nearly all the events. So some events were short and quick, other events were long and difficult, but the same athletes took part in all the events. And that's the idea here that James has in mind. So sometimes your Christian life will be a quick dash. Other times, the Christian life is a slow marathon of a race. Sometimes what's being tested are the strength of your leg muscles. Other times it's your patience, and you need to be very patient in order to take part in a certain event. Now that's what's going on here in this verse. Three areas of belief. And let's take a pause, shall we, to make sure that what we're saying here sinks in. Christians are athletes. According to James, we are not patients in a hospital. We are athletes. We are those who are called to be hardworking and disciplined. That's what James is telling us here in his verses. Life is one long Olympic Games. But then, above all, we have the idea of God. And it's really important that you see God in verse 12 as the one who celebrates the athletes after they have competed. Because what James goes on to say from verse 13 onwards is it's not God who is testing the athletes. It's not God who sets the distance the athletes must run. It's not God who puts all the pressure on. God is the one who comes after the games and gives out the crown of life. That's who God is, according to James. So let's take this final belief we've got here then about God. God gives the crown of life to those who love him. And you can see on your paper, on the notices, that we're going to think about this crown of life. And we're going to see three things, I think, about it. How is the crown described? To whom is it given? And when will it be given? So the crown is described in verse 12 as the crown of life. So remember what I've said to you. The crown isn't a kingly crown. It's that laurel wreath. I'm sure you've all seen it. If you've ever watched a movie about the Roman Empire, you've seen the idea. It's made up of leaves. It's twisted together. That's the idea here in James. It's the crown that celebrates victory in the Olympic Games. Now, James describes it as the crown of life. Did you notice from earlier on how the Apostle Paul describes it? Turn back to the reading we had earlier, 2 Timothy and chapter 4. Let's just make a quick reference to this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and Paul is doing exactly the same as James. He's using the idea of the Olympic Games, and look at how Paul describes this crown. So starting then at verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now what Paul is doing there, he's referring to the fact that at the Olympic Games, there would have been an offering made to the gods. So the games would open with this ceremony in which, let me use the word and bear with me, the word is libation. So a huge jug or some such or, vessel would contain oil and it would be poured out as an offering to the gods, either at the start or the end of the games. Now, Paul probably has in mind here the end of the games. So verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering and the time of my departure is at hand. So the games are over. Look at how Paul describes himself as an athlete. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So there's Paul the athlete. And then you get this reference. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Now, it's very similar, that verse, to what James is describing. Paul describes the crown, the same idea of the wreath, as the crown of righteousness. And it's been laid up for him. Now, the idea there is really interesting. It's the idea that the organisers of the game would have ready the laurel wreaths to give out. They have a supply of wreaths ready. A bit like, I guess, today, those who've organised the Winter Olympics have got so many gold medals and so many silver medals ready and waiting. Now, that's what Paul is saying. There's a medal, a crown, waiting for him, ready for him, with his name on it. And it's the crown of righteousness. So James refers to it as the crown of life, and Paul, the crown of righteousness. Both James and Paul have the same idea that the Lord is the one who will give the crown to Paul, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, I want to keep what Paul says to one side, the crown of righteousness. What James refers to is this, the crown of life. James is saying that God will give a victory crown, a crown of life, everlasting life, eternal life, life in the presence of God. That's the crown that he will give, according to James. So the word life is a shorthand word. It's a quick way of referring to the glories of heaven. He will celebrate, God will celebrate the Christian as the person who is worthy or deserving or entering into the glories of heaven. That's what is meant by the crown of life. And we'll see what Paul means again by the crown of righteousness. So keep the picture of the Olympics in mind then. And as far as I can tell today, the podium ceremony is very quick. You stand up, you have a medal, you sing the anthem, and it's all over. Now, it's not like that here in James. God will give the crown of life, the celebration of eternal glory to his people. And that is a crown that is to be worn forever. It is a status, it's a place of honor for each believer that is for eternity. That's what is summed up here in what James is telling us. So the crown of life. Now, what else does he say? He tells us, and he says exactly the same as the Apostle Paul. Who gets this crown? Now, take a look at verse 12 and see what he tells you. And once you've spotted it in verse 12, just flick back very quickly to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, and you'll see exactly the same idea. So who are the ones who have the crown given to them? What does James and Paul tell you? And once you've made the connection, it's hugely surprising, given the fact that these two writers are teaching you what to believe based on the idea of the Olympic Games. So, who has the crown? Look at James, first of all, then. And James says, the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those, and here it is, who love him. And if you go back to 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, you get the same idea, don't you? Have you seen it? Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who love his appearing. So this crown, this victory celebration, is given to all who love. Now, I want you to be very careful now. Listen to what I'm saying to you. What both James and Paul are doing, they take the idea of the Olympic Games and they say that in the Games, with the idea of competition, you get a first and a second and a third position. You get winners and losers. Now, what these two writers are saying to you is in the Christian life, there are no losers. Every Christian will have the crown of life and the crown of righteousness. Every Christian. Now, I want you to be careful as I try to explain this to you. Because what Paul is doing, he's saying Christianity is completely different to anything you've ever known. It's not about winners and losers. It's not about you competing and it's all down to you and the pressure is on you and it's up to you and you could crash and burn and you could lose everything you've worked for. It's not that. Let's go back to the Winter Olympics. Do you remember that girl, that British girl who's crashed twice and was disqualified once? It's not like that, says Paul, where things can go wrong and you crash out or you could make a mistake and be disqualified. In the Christian life, every Christian will be given the crown of life. Every Christian. Now, I don't want you to think, oh, well, that sounds very modern, Neil. We live in an age, don't we, where everybody wins. Well, you can't have losers. In school today, everybody's got to have some kind of trophy. It's not like that either. The idea here is every Christian will be given the crown of life because by the grace of God and in the purposes of God and by the power of God, and because of the love of God and because of the work of Christ, every Christian will finish as if she is finishing first. First place in the life that that Christian has lived. Because of who God is and because of what God does, we will all finish as if we have won the race that God has allocated to us. So it's not everybody wins, and so it's all watered down. It's everybody finishes the race to which God has called you as a winner of that race. And then God himself will give to you the crown of life. That's the idea here that James is laying out for us. So there's one more thing to do, and that's to ask the question, when? It's not so clear in James, but it's very clear in what Paul tells us. So once more then, back to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, and let's take a look at how clear it is in Paul's writings. So, I won't read the whole verse out, but take a look at verse 8 of 2 Timothy 4. The Lord will give to me on that day, so there it is, when will we have the crown? On that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. And there's the clue. The word appearing is a wonderful Greek word, and it's a Greek word that means a ceremony, a display of light. So the word could be translated as a fireworks display, if they had them, of course, which they didn't. It could be describing a light show, a closing ceremony. And I think, given the day, let's choose that idea of a closing ceremony, a great celebration of the Olympic Games, when you celebrate all that's been achieved, when all the athletes are on parade and the success of the Games is acknowledged, and there's this great audience, and there's singing and there's dancing and there's celebration. That's the idea here for both Paul and James. There is a closing ceremony to come. There is a closing ceremony that will celebrate the end of this world as it has been. There is a closing ceremony when the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. There is a closing ceremony in which the sun and the moon will be rolled up and the heavens destroyed by fire, and Christ will appear in all his glory. There is a closing ceremony to end all closing ceremonies, when this world will cease and the new heaven and the new earth will be opened. Now that closing ceremony is the day on which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to each of us the crown of life. He will celebrate for all his people how we have competed and run the race, fought the good fight, kept the faith, endured testings, proved our character. He will celebrate that all in one great moment of celebration. You and I will take part in the closing ceremony to end all others, and Christ himself will give to you and me the crown of life, and we will then enter into that new heaven, that new earth, and you and I will be forever with the Lord. Well, let's pray.